painted shutter. I could see chips of the other colors it had been painted before the deep blue it now was. I didn't stop. I just walked past slowly, admiring everything. Finally, I stopped at an old Airstream decorated with little cactuses and a huge water cooler full of lemons and limes and ice. They were selling pots of succulents and hanging plants. Adding more life to my house was essential, and I'd much rather be around plants than humans, hands down. I got a free drink in a biodegradable cup, then bought a couple of plants, took a picture of my two new babies that I really hoped I could keep alive, and sent it to Elodie and Instagram. Evidence that I had left the house that day. Wasn't there the meme that said, if it's not on Instagram, did it really even happen? I felt kind of lame right after I posted it and tucked my phone into my pocket. I sat down at one of the little tables and drank another plastic cup full of their water. Something about the aesthetic of fresh lemon and orange slices floating in mint-infused ice water on a hot-ass Georgia day made it the best water I'd ever had. I felt like I was at a spa, even with dirt covering my flip-flopped feet and my hair in a nest of ponytail on top of my head. The longer I was at the market, the more I loved it. I mentally thanked Elodie for inviting me to the cookout that caused me to run to this place. It felt like the reset I needed. I was in a new town, with golden walnut hair and beautiful plants to look after. The flea market felt so far from my house, from Fort Benning, even if it was only a 30-minute drive. The drive there had been peaceful. Only country roads and one little town with one gas station, a post office, and a couple houses spread out far enough that they wouldn't hear a peep from their neighbors. I tossed my cup into the recycling bin and picked up my plants, ready to explore the rest of the market. I didn't really think it through, though, because the plants were actually pretty big, and I could barely see over one of them.
Need some help with those?
A voice asked from behind me. When I turned around, I almost dropped them both onto the ground.
Chapter 16. Kale. Karina adjusted the plants in her arms. I reached to help her, and she took a step backward, nearly stepping into a pool of water to avoid my hand touching her.
I got it,
she repeated twice in a row, discarding my offer of help. No surprise. She was a stubborn ass, no damsel in distress, and she loved to prove it, even if it made her blue in the face or red in the arms. Like she was now, with the plants scraping her skin as she tried to distribute their weight. She had on gray shorts that were pretty damn short for the flea market on a Sunday. The thickness of her soft, exposed thighs made it hard to look up at the rest of her. The chances of two women having that body weren't likely. When she first turned around, I thought it was my guilty conscience making me see Karina's face or body on a stranger's. A stranger with different hair than Karina had the last time I saw her just a few days ago. Watching her struggling to hold the pots was a little painful. I knew firsthand how heavy those fuckers were. One of them had big green leaves and a few purple flowers peeking out of soft soil, but the cactus had pebbles all around it and the pot itself was stone. The thorns on the cactus looked sharp as they poked at her arms again, and sure as hell wouldn't be fun to drop on bare legs or flip-flop feet. The first things I clocked about the girl were her thighs and bare feet. Not because I'm a pervy motherfucker, but because the soldier in me was wondering what the hell she was thinking wearing flip-flops to the flea market, especially with the rain we had been having in Georgia. You're really not dressed for this, I said. She glared at me, which made me smile. Seeing her, angry or not, shifted my mood drastically. Without the audience of her brother or Mendoza, I felt much more at ease with her, enough to talk to her at least. What are you doing here? She asked, her eyes suspicious green slivers. Me? I asked her. I come here all the time. You clearly don't, I teased, looking down at her bare feet. Her lighter hair color brightened her eyes, and something was different about her face. She wasn't wearing any makeup, and I could see the little pool of freckles on the tip of her nose. I studied her as she looked down at the boots on my feet. "See?" I said, stomping my foot lightly on the loose dirt. She looked at me with an expression that was exactly the same as rolling her eyes, without actually moving them. Since it was an outdoor market, the ground of the entire setup was dirt. There was some occasional large gravel, which wouldn't be fun to walk in, with only half an inch of rubber separating your skin from the ground. This time of year especially, the older stalls near the back fence had mud puddles the size of human bodies in front of and next to their tables and signs, even if it hadn't rained in days. In general, the ground of the market was filled with dips and holes, random wooden posts, abandoned stalls. The place wasn't in the best shape, but that was part of why I liked it. We had that in common. Both of us were battered to hell. "What are you doing here?" I asked again, still processing that Karina was actually there. She finally stopped torturing herself and set the plants down on the table in front of her.
"Fuck me," she groaned,
wiping the dirt off her palms and onto her tattered gray t-shirt. She shook her arms in front of her body, and I couldn't stop myself from laughing as she assessed the damage to her skin. Her arms had some cuts, but nothing a little peroxide and a band-aid wouldn't fix.
"Me? What are you doing here?"
she asked. I pointed at her. She was in the mood to play games, obviously. "Well, me, I come here every weekend, so I know you don't. Are you going to take that as my final answer or ask again? Now your turn. What are you doing here in flip-flops and shorts?" She frowned, making her brows move. And I noticed she just looked different. Well rested, maybe?
"So what, now you're talking to me?"
she snapped. "I wasn't not talking to you before," I lied. She nearly growled at me, and it made me oddly excited. "So how did you even find this place?" She shrugged.
"I found it on Yelp, and I need some stuff for my house, so I drove out."
"What are you looking for? I know most of what they have and who can give you the best deal. Did you get your plans from Kathy at the Airstream?" I knew she had. We were only a few feet away from their sitting area. Karina shook her head.
"I don't know her name, but the Airstream lady, yeah."
She shaded her eyes with her hand, and the purple paint on her nails caught my eye. She'd clearly been busy over the last few days giving herself a makeover. Not that she'd needed one. "Cool. She's been here forever. Her husband comes some weekends to help out. Nice guy." What I didn't mention was that Kathy's husband had gone to Vietnam, and her son was now serving in Afghanistan. Serving in the military happened to be a family affair more often than not, but I didn't want to remind her of her brother's enlistment. Not while she wasn't throwing daggers at me for once. Karina looked around at everything but me. I tried to do the same. I was in the middle of trying to detach her from my mind, too. I think I had gone most of the morning without thinking about her. Of course, I'd slipped a few times, but hey, no one was perfect. Running into her here, of all places, it was wild. It threw me off, and I knew it was better for both of us to get through this awkward, random encounter as quickly as possible. But if I was being honest with myself, seeing her just felt so good. This was the second time in less than a week that we'd happened to be in the same place at the same time. She felt slightly less distant now than she had at the hospital, and I felt much more relaxed being somewhere familiar to me that wasn't to her.
"That's cool," she replied awkwardly.
I nearly forgot that we were talking about Kathy's husband. We stood in silence as people walked past with steaming coffee mugs, and an older man carried a huge wooden door on his back across the grass. One of us would need to pull the trigger and say goodbye first. I looked over at her to see her staring directly at me. I certainly wasn't wearing my Sunday best, just casual clothes and my army boots. She wasn't either. But she looked fine as hell. I couldn't help but continue to stare at her legs, her hips, the sweat gleaming on her neck. A couple more seconds of silence passed between us, like the sun and the moon, dancing around until one gives in and tucks away for the night. I waited, sort of hoping she would start going on about the plants, or she would yell at me for being a dick at the hospital, or her brother's enlistment. Something. Anything. I finally broke the tense silence. Well, nice seeing you. I'll let you get going. I need to meet a guy about some wood anyway. I laughed a little, so she would maybe get the gotta see a man about a dog reference I was going for. She smiled at me, but it was vapid. No emotion behind it. A skilled chameleon who wasted her powers by using them against me. I needed to be the one to end the exchange before she had the chance to blow me off. She cleared her throat and reached to pick the pots up again. See you around. You can ask Kathy to hold them for you while you look around more if you aren't done shopping. I pointed to the silver Airstream. Karina looked where I was pointing, and Kathy waved.
Hey, Martin. How are you, honey?
She yelled to me. Karina's expression changed. She was now watching me closely and walked with me right on my heels as I approached Kathy, whose hair was pulled back in a ponytail, the roots gray, but the tail red. Her wide eyes were colored with thick blue eyeliner, and her nails were painted all different shades of the rainbow. I'm good. Getting some flooring and trying to head home before it gets too hot. How are you? How's Randy? I asked. Kathy smiled at the mention of her husband's name.
Yeah, it's a hot one. She looked up at the sky. Randy's good. Hasn't changed a bit. Never does. I'll tell him you said hi.
I got straight to the point for Karina, so we could both move on with our days. Can my friend leave her pots here until she's ready to load her car? I asked. Kathy nodded.
Of course. Why didn't you tell me you were Martin's friend? So nice to meet you. I would have given her a discount.
Kathy wrapped Karina in a friendly hug that I knew she would be thrown off by and definitely wouldn't enjoy. Karina managed a smile as she gently untangled herself in the most polite way.
Nice to meet you.
I didn't think Kathy noticed that Karina had moved farther away from her to avoid further physical contact, but I sure as hell did. In some ways, Karina was so predictable. In others, she was a complete loose cannon.
Go ahead and leave the plants. I'll watch them for you until you're ready to leave. No problem.
I picked the pots up and put them just behind the cash register before Karina could even think about telling me not to. An army family approached the Airstream, checking out a row of hanging flower baskets, and Kathy excused herself to greet them by name. She was like that. She could meet someone once and remember their names, where they're from, what they bought or eyed before.
Thanks. You didn't have to do that,
Karina told me. Her tone clipped. I looked up at her as she was tucking a loose piece of her light hair behind her ear. Her face was bare and a little red from the sun. She wasn't going to look at me if her life depended on it. I hated games, but if she wanted to play, I'd play. And to be fair, I'd started it at the hospital. She was just continuing it.
See you around,
she said flatly. It pissed me off instantly, but I didn't look at her as I turned my back to her and started to walk the other way. I waved my hand in the air in hopes of getting a rise out of her. I had no reason to stay a second longer. Even if she got over me helping her brother enlist, there were too many dark corners to shine lights in when it came to the two of us. It's not like she would ever actually be able to trust me. Not me. Not anyone. I'd heard it a million times now. I got about 3 steps away before she said my name, and I thought about acting like I didn't hear it to save both of our sanities, but I couldn't resist. Yeah, I said, barely turning toward her. Let's get this over with, Karina. No drama.
It's just so weird that you're here.
She pulled at her lips and I dared to meet her eyes.
Are you alone?
I nodded. Why was she asking? She tucked her hands into the pockets of her gray cotton shorts. We stood in the grueling sun and didn't say a word. I tried to stop myself from reading her, but I slipped and studied her expression, her nervously twitching lips. The anxiety I could feel from her was tugging at me, pulling me in.
Are you alone?
Why couldn't I walk away from her? I was a man of control. I lived for it. Yet I couldn't just walk away from Karina. She nodded.
Don't you think it's weird that I'm here? If you come here all the time,
I didn't know that. I was just trying to get out of the cookout that Elodie invited me to. And I never really do stuff like this. You know, I don't just seek out random markets in the middle of nowhere, but I did. And here you are. What does she want from me? Some sign that I believed in fate? That her stories about the stars and the moon made destiny bring us here to make up and be together? She'd had a chance, many chances, to listen to the universe about me. But she'd run. My instinct screamed to get the fuck away from there. Abort the fucking mission, Martin. Apparently, I loved wasting my time, and so did she. And? Now that destiny has brought us both here, you're going to stop pretending like you don't know me? At the hospital, you didn't seem to. She blinked. You barely spoke to me. Kathy looked over at us, and I ushered Karina to move out of her sight. Man, the last thing I needed was to have everyone in this place all up in my personal life. I'd been coming here alone, only bringing Mendoza a few times since I moved to Benning, so even having Karina here was going to get them all whispering. I wanted to keep my routine here. Hellos and goodbyes, salutes, and the occasional hug from someone who wanted to thank me for my service. Look, this isn't the place for us to hash this out. Neither was the ER. Her chin jutted out and she stepped closer to me, hands on her full hips. Always a fight with this one. And her brother. It must run in their blood. When is then? Or were we just never going to talk and pretend it didn't happen? You love to do that, I reminded her. And just as I went to take back the blow, she threw it back at me. Me? That's your M.O. Well, we have that in common. I put a little distance between us. I needed a breath to get a handle on myself. You're so annoying, she huffed, kicking her foot out. And you're not? Her cheeks had gone from pink to red. Her eyes were pure chaos, and they became laser-focused on destroying me. She was Daenerys from Game of Thrones, skilled at taking weak men down. I would be next if I didn't stop this now. She felt I had betrayed her, that I was on the other side now, opposing her, so I was fair game to attack. How do you not think what you did was fucked up? Her voice sounded much less rage-filled than her body language let on. I couldn't even tell which one was real. Then she added, or do you not care anymore? I'm not happy with the way it played out, or all the choices I made, no. But that doesn't change the fact that I made them, does it? She shook her head. You literally don't care. This isn't the time to be quiet, Martin. Using my last name, it was clear she wanted to get a reaction out of me. No way in hell was I going to give her one. Well, maybe a small one. I moved closer to her, towering over her. You're not going to believe anything I say, and it's not going to make you forget what I did or change it. So we're just wasting time here. You're going to have to get over your brother's enlistment before you can even try to forgive me for being a part of it. He's going to get off the hook because you're family. But I'll be punished forever. Someday, you'll thank me. But it will be a long fucking time, I'm sure. She scoffed, eyes filled with anger. I was pretty sure this girl fucking hated me. I whispered so a family walking by didn't hear me. I know you. I breathed onto her, so close to her face that I could see the rise and fall of her breath in her chest. You don't, and never will, she said back to me. It hurt like hell, but I kept going. She wasn't completely in the right here, and I was done taking blame for every single fuck-up between us. If she wasn't so close-minded about everything, both Fisher and I would have told her sooner, but we knew better. Look, I told you I was worried about him from the jump. He was fucking up badly, and I knew that, but it wasn't my place to tell you about just how bad it was. I tried to do what I could, and then he mentioned the army. He had been trying to join for a while back in whichever Carolina your piece of shit uncle lives in. I know a good recruiter who wouldn't treat him like complete dog shit, so I introduced them. When I brought you up and asked what you thought about it, your brother asked me not to mention any of it to you until he could explain everything himself. He's your brother, your twin at that, so I stepped out of it. I don't get in the way of family shit, Karina, and you two have enough shit to work out. It wasn't my place.
I wondered what she would say. There was a tiny, tiny possibility that she would realize I wasn't the villain in her story. She'd have to change the entire narrative she had created over the last few weeks, but it was possible she could be rational. Instead of being rational, she jutted her chin up, crossed her arms around her body to protect herself further, and said, in the most assured voice I'd ever heard,
"You lied to me. Not just about that, but since I met you. You've been lying to me about my dad, about your past, about my brother. You're a narcissist and a liar."
I looked around us so slyly that Karina barely noticed. We were already getting some attention. A few people were flat out standing there staring at us, saying things that I couldn't hear. I stayed close to her so that our voices wouldn't travel. The conversation was beyond fucking inappropriate to have right there, right then. And I got distracted by the man who was paying Kathy for his stuff. He was visibly growing impatient as Kathy's pen scratched the old school receipt pad. She changed pens and continued to handwrite the bill and tap her finger against the calculator buttons. "I didn't lie," I finally said. "It's not a lie if I had your best interest in mind when telling it."
"Yes, it is. It doesn't work like that. You don't get to decide what I can and can't handle."
She took a deep breath.
"God, I'm so sick of people fucking doing that."
"Let's agree to disagree and finish this when people aren't staring at us." She looked around, noticing the vendors and customers eavesdropping.
"Don't count on it. I never want to see you again, and I have a lamp to buy anyway."
She threw her arms to her sides. Her sandal landed on the tip of a branch that snapped up, biting her leg. She didn't stop or even flinch as it cut her skin. Such was her determination to prove a point to me.
Chapter 17. Karina. It took everything in me not to make a sound when I tripped on that damn stick and it cut my leg. Kale was right. I was not appropriately dressed for this place. I moseyed through the market. Screw him, I wasn't leaving just because he was here. But did everything in my power to not run into him again. I kept an eye out for his blue cut-off t-shirt as I went from booth to booth, taking my time to enjoy the place since now I could never come back. This was his territory, not mine. Ugh. He was so damn obnoxious and rude, and now the one time in weeks that I felt relaxed, he had to be there and ruin it. Good thing he was a complete asshole to me. I was 2 seconds away from making the mistake of asking him if he wanted to continue to talk it all out. In my head, we could have been walking around, talking about everything, laughing even, like the couple standing next to me, holding hands and sharing a big cup of lemonade with only one straw. It must be so nice to have someone to just be around and share straws with, laugh with. No worry about trust or lies or being abandoned. Watching the relaxed couple made me feel even crazier for thinking I could have that with someone, especially a soldier. Not to mention that Kale was such a dick. I had never been exposed to the massively petty side of him and never wanted to be again. The silent and steady, involved but inherently distant Kale was at least tolerable. This Kale, who didn't follow me when I walked away, not tolerable. And his immature little hand wave, fuck him. I should just leave. This place had been really fun at first, and I'd been convinced I had found my new favorite place. But now knowing this was his stomping ground and that he came here all the time ruined it. In reality, I would have been better off sitting in Elodie's friend's backyard and pretending that their conversations were interesting, and that I cared if they liked me. I mean, I guess I did care, but I was too tired lately to keep reassuring myself that not every person secretly hated me or found me annoying. So, I could have just sat there, even if they all hated me and thought I was annoying after all. At least Elodie would have been there. And they would have had hot dogs and burgers, probably. Another plus. This place had Kale, which was worse than hanging out with a bunch of army wives and faking interest for hours. I didn't even get to try the tacos or funnel cakes that smelled so good when I entered the market. I had been starving, but somehow now lost my appetite. In the last few minutes, this place had become worse than drinking room-temperature hot dog water. It baffled me that a few weeks ago I was letting this man crawl into the dark little spaces of my mind, those I rarely even visited myself. And now my stomach lurched at the thought of how embedded in my life he had become. For fuck's sake, hadn't I learned anything from my parents? I needed to learn to cut ties with people who were toxic in my life, instead of yearning for them. While it wasn't necessarily Kale who was toxic, everything about our circumstances was too full of bad blood. It had accumulated in way too short a time, and he was clearly still hanging out with my brother, choosing loyalty to him over me. I didn't know why I felt so shocked, given that literally everyone in my life had always done the same thing. I kept browsing, and time at the market passed in a mysterious way. Eventually, I forgot about Austin, Kale, and even my cell phone. I slid my fingertips along the back of a deep purple satin wingback chair. Bright and exaggerated in its features, it made me feel like Alice in Wonderland. The chair was beautiful and funky, but I couldn't see it in my house. Even so, I ran my fingers over the metal buttons along the lining and across the smooth fabric of the seat again. The soft pastel color of my nails against its harsher midnight sky shade was beautiful. While no one was looking, I pulled out my phone and snapped a picture of my hand on the seat of the chair. I used portrait mode so the background was slightly blurry and the light was focused on brightening and deepening the colors of the image. It was actually a really beautiful picture. I immediately looked around to see if anyone had noticed. I felt embarrassed as I tagged #FleaMarketFinds. I didn't really get why I felt so silly taking the pictures when that's what life was now. Phones were beyond an accessory at this point, and most everything was documented at least a million times throughout the day. Even as I looked around, phones were in over half of the people's hands. Glancing at the time on my phone, I realized it was almost 5 o'clock p.m. That seemed impossible to me, but when I looked about, some of the stalls were packing up their products into lockboxes and carts. At one of the stands toward the back, by all the trees, the guy running it was still talking to customers as he cut his locally famous, fairly priced, wooden beams one by one, a line of people waiting their turn. Despite his gregarious approach, I assumed everyone else packing up meant the flea market was getting close to closing. Kale popped into my mind when I saw Elodie's name on my screen, and over 100 notifications from Instagram. I tapped the app open and scrolled through my notifications, which were usually one or two a week at max. I had comments from person after person asking where I was, where they could get that chair, and to post more pictures. Estelle, my dad's wife, even commented that I had a great eye. Weird. I went away from the notifications screen and typed Kale's name into the search bar, a newly formed but apparently unbreakable habit. Nothing new. The last picture was one I'd seen a ton of times both here and on Facebook, the one from his deployment with Mendoza and Philip. The realization that he could sneak up behind me at any time hit me, and I slid my phone back into the pocket of my shorts. I hated the way that once I had opened my thoughts to him, he engulfed them in one passing breath. It was such a different reality than I thought it would be. Kale was basically a fuckboy. I wanted to pretend he wasn't, but at the end of the day, he was. Him acting like a total douche today proved it. He wanted to float through my life and not stay, just like everyone else, and I would let him. I wanted nothing to do with him anymore. Now paranoid, I looked around. The flea market was much less crowded than when I got there. Kale was probably gone. I needed to quit psyching myself out. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a white chair with a huge winged back in the corner of a stall. The upholstery looked like it had oil blotches on it until I walked closer and realized the spots were actually black, embroidered roses. My heart sank when I checked for a price and didn't see one. Not a good sign. The saleswoman was sitting on a stool with her face in front of a small pink plastic fan. She had on a Bob Seger t-shirt, and I thought about my mom and how she always wore a shirt from one of his concerts, which my dad had often taken her to when they first got together. My mom used to sing Against the Wind in the car with her arm out of the window, rolling it to the sound of the music and the force of the wind. Funny enough, both the chair and the woman working reminded me of my mom. The saleswoman's hair was styled the same way my mom's had been, two long braids hanging over her shoulders, and wild curls escaping each side, framing her face. Even the chair looked like something my mom would salivate over. The woman caught me staring at her, and of course I made it awkward and looked away, then right back, as soon as I realized what I'd done. She smiled and told me to tell her if I had any questions, then started rearranging a bowl full of extravagantly detailed doorknobs. I nodded, thanking her, and touched one fingertip to the petal of one of the roses. The black flowers were embroidered with thick, soft yarn. I always yearned for random, cool furniture, but this was calling to me in a different way. It was just so amazing, the shape of the chair and the casual way the roses were scattered across the eggshell white fabric. It looked both old and new, classic and trendy. It wasn't too loud, but definitely not subtle. I sighed and thought about the money in my pocket. I had no way of knowing how much the chair would be, and it was impossible to guess at this flea market. Just today, I'd seen an old, cracked cabinet for $1,200 and a beautiful antique desk for only $40 right at the next stand. So there was really no way to gauge without flat-out asking, and for some reason, the woman with my mom's hair intimidated me too much to ask. I was the kind of person who found so many simple things embarrassing. From crossing the street on a busy intersection, the countdown on the traffic light taunting me, to raising my hand in class. I had always been that way. I noticed that a set of plates on the display table next to me didn't have a sticker. Most things in the stall didn't seem to have a price. Again, not a good sign. They were either expensive or she wanted to bargain, which I absolutely dreaded and couldn't do. I looked at the beautiful chair again. It would go perfectly in my living room. That was a good sign. I could move my couch over a little and turn the other chair to face this one. I bit the bullet. "How much is this chair with the roses?" I asked the woman, my heart racing over the simple question. She got down from her stool and walked over to me. Her cloth skirt flowed around her, the bottom of the dark linen covered in dusty dirt. I imagined that everyone, including me, would leave this place with a thin layer of dirt on their entire body. Beyond the similarity to my mother, there was something about her face that felt familiar, like someone from an old movie, when you couldn't recall what you'd seen them in before. Knowing how much of Hollywood had become scattered throughout Georgia, it wouldn't surprise me if she actually was. "That chair, the upholstery's hand-sewn. It came all the way from Missouri. It was my granddad's and his old mistress hand-sewed the whole thing," the woman told me, just glazing right over the mistress part with a smile. Her fingers were decorated with rings, and she had a bunch of long, dangly necklaces hanging down and hitting poor Bob Seger in the face as she moved. "You can have it for $250, and that's a good deal. $250 doesn't even cover the fabric. It's a steal. I can see the way you're looking at it, so I'm willing to go that low. I just get off on the fact that that bitch worked so hard on it for me not to keep it." Her sarcasm was thick with wit. I laughed a little. I groaned. Of course, I couldn't afford it. I wasn't denying its worth, but it was just too much for me. "Thank you, but I can't afford it right now," I said, looking at the chair as I backed away from her stall. Ugh, it was so freaking beautiful. My lack of extra spending money was another reason I couldn't imagine working for Molly forever. It kept me afloat right now, but by the time I was 25, I wanted to be able to spend $250 on a chair on a random Sunday instead of feeling the burn of longing for something I couldn't have. A voice caught me and the woman just as I was slipping away.
You can't do 150?
Kale stepped in front of me, his hands in front of his chest like he was praying.
It's a very expensive chair, Martin. My stepmother handmade the upholstery.
Funny how she was mistress to me, stepmom to Kale. I loved the thought of women being honest with each other. She was a badass, I could just tell. It was also hilarious how Kale just happened to have this woman immediately charmed, and had for quite some time by the looks of it. She was smiling, touching her long hair in a way that wasn't flirty, but made me jealous of how well she knew him. Just like the Airstream lady, she was all threaded into this life of his that I was oblivious to. Everyone here seemed to have drunk an ice-cold glass of the Kale Martin Kool-Aid on a hot summer day. Everyone, except for me. I'd only had a sip. I craved more, but I knew it turned sour before it dripped on my tongue.
I know, Miss Rosa, but Karina here is living alone and trying to fix up her house.
I wanted to elbow him or tell her I was sorry that he was so obnoxious and loved to overstep, but her expression changed as he kept going. Soon it seemed like he was actually winning the negotiation.
Her brother's my close friend. He just joined the service.
I felt a twinge of guilt until I realized, yeah, my brother was going into the damn army. If a cheaper chair was one tiny thing that made that a little better, then so be it. I'd also have to take the hit of calling my dad to ask him to drive all the way out here to help haul it back, which, apart from the fact that we weren't speaking, would add at least an hour of judgmental stares and snide comments about my safety and my outfit and how I wasn't being responsible going so far alone, how ugly and unnecessary the purchase was. I was starting to wonder if the chair was even worth the headache and suffocation that would linger with me most of the day. And calling my dad wasn't rational, not after what we'd been through. But then again, maybe Estelle would like the market. She seemed to like the picture I posted. But calling my dad was the last thing I wanted to do.
Her twin brother, only 20 years old.
I suddenly realized Kale was still negotiating on my behalf. Man, he was good at this. His charisma, when he felt like using it, made him impossibly alluring and hard to argue with. Kale and Ms. Rosa went back and forth in $20 increments, then $5 increments, eventually landing at $200. He was insanely smooth at negotiating. It was hard to look away. I really wanted the chair now, and watching them barter felt sort of like a game. Exciting, and now I was even more invested. My dad's in the... I began to say, but Kale stopped me with a gentle hand on my back. It was so obvious the way he did it, but his sweet friend Ms. Rosa didn't seem to notice, which was weird.
175, he bargained.
Problem was, I only had just a little over $100 left. Kale, I only have 120 on me, I told him quietly.
It's going to a good home, Kale told her, ignoring my warning of insufficient funds.
The tone he was using with her could sell carpet cleaner to a woman with hardwood floors. With a couple more pleases and his huge, bright white smile, she was so close to caving.
Is she your girlfriend or something?
Her brow arched and she looked me up and down. I wasn't sure if she approved or not.
I guess I'd find out soon. Sort of. I'm trying to convince her to be, so if you could help me out, that would be great.
His smile was so infectious. I caught the worst case and was smiling like an idiot when she finally caved. She broke out of character seconds later, smiling at him as he pulled out his wallet. She looked at me, and I felt like she was in on some secret that I wasn't. It didn't make me paranoid like that thought usually did. Rather, it made me feel warm and made me smile shyly back at her. Ms. Rosa stuck her hand out for my cash, and I placed it in her palm and watched as she counted it along with Kale's. I would go right to the ATM when we finished paying her and give Kale back every penny he'd put toward the chair. I didn't want to spend the extra money, but I really fucking wanted that chair. And I sure as hell wasn't going to owe him anything, not even $55. I thanked her, Kale thanked her, and she hugged him. He truly did know everyone here, and I never even knew this place existed.
Come around this side more, Ms. Rosa said. I know Mendoza can't come or sail here anymore, and I'm sorry for what happened, but we miss you on this side. How are you doing? I heard you got hurt.
She looked at him from toe to forehead and back to his leg, which made me really look at him. I realized he looked tired and a little dirty, as if he'd just done some sort of manual labor, a sweat ring on the back of his sky blue t-shirt. He was so unfairly hot. Something about the casual confidence he exuded made me unable to look away from him. Ms. Rosa seemed to feel the same way I did, and she knew him and his friends better than I did. Mendoza. So Mendoza used to come here more often than I thought with Kale. Or sold something here and now can't? I tried to make sense of it all, and what she said about his injured leg, while wondering how I managed to feel so close to him, but actually didn't know him at all. As far as I knew, Kale's leg was a little tender and ached sometimes here and there, but he was healing normally. At least that's what he'd told me. I didn't know which of us had the real scoop, but I assumed it wasn't me.
It's nothing.
Kale bent a little to look down at his legs.
Just some soreness here and there. Who told you that anyway?
I noticed how sweet his voice was with her. And it sort of surprised me, no lie. I wondered how he knew her so well. Was it just from coming here on the weekends and visiting with Mendoza? So many questions, none of which made me feel particularly good. Damn this stunning chair for being here today, and damn me for not having any self-control and letting Kale help me.
Your mama, she's been calling me. Well, she calls me here and there, but just the other day she called by accident, but we ended up talking for a few.
She gave him a knowing smile. She seemed like a woman who loved to gossip, but still had a pure heart and good intentions. At the mention of Kale's mom, I perked up. He rarely talked about her, and I wanted to know if Ms. Rosa would give any clues as to why that was. I knew he was a private person, but I wanted to know everything about him, while telling everyone, including myself, that I didn't. And I knew it wouldn't be coming from him, so it was one of my last chances to crack him open before he left my life for good. The irrational, more curious side of me hoped he wouldn't just end the conversation or smile and sweetly nudge the topic away from himself, like he did with me most of the time.
And you two just gossiped about me?
He was teasing her, and the smile he gave her was one I had never seen from him.
Nothing better to do.
He looked like a carefree teenage boy for a second, like how I imagined him before the army. It made me sad for him. I wondered how his mom saw him, and how she was. A tiny, little, small, very small, so small that I could easily see how stupid it was. Part of me wished I could have been able to meet her. I wanted to see the woman who worked her fingers to the bone to raise such a morally sound man. Well, when it came to his views, not as a boyfriend or whatever he'd been.
That's what mamas do. I miss her sweet face coming in here with you. It's been so long, she said,
looking at me with an expression that assumed I knew his mom and what she'd been up to. Ms. Rosa was sweet, but didn't have a clue. A little sadness hit me again, and I missed a woman whom I didn't even know. I really, really needed to get out of there. It must have been something in the lemon water from the airstream that made me lose my good judgment.
Well, I'll tell her you said hi when I talk to her next,
Kale replied. He looked down at his phone for a moment, then back up.
It was nice seeing you, Miss Rosa. I won't stay gone so long next time, but I do have to get going.
Immediately, I wondered where he was going. Home? The cookout? Somewhere else, secretive people like him went to hang out and conspire how to confuse the rest of us. Ms. Rosa hugged both of us. People here must really love to hug strangers. Giving me one more look over, she left me wondering if she approved of me or not. Not that it mattered, but I still couldn't tell by the time she left us standing by my pretty new chair. I'll go to the ATM now and grab the money I owe you, I said. I have to figure out how to get this home.
Don't worry about it,
he said, shrugging. His t-shirt was loose around his neck, exposing his collarbone and the full length of his shoulders to his fingertips. A hot chill ran over my entire body. His skin was gleaming with the warm kiss of the sun. What? Of course I'm giving you the money back.
It's what, $60?
He asked, shrugging. 55. I don't like to owe people anything, especially given our circumstances. I metaphorically dug my flip-flops into the dirt. He laughed lightly, kicking his boot against the loose dust at our feet.
Oh, I know you don't. I don't need the money back, even though you're going to force me to take it.
He looked up at me, so I rolled my eyes. Are you ever going to stop acting like you know me when you don't? He cocked his head to the side. A little smile played on his lips, like whatever he was going to say hung the stars.
I do know you, though. Barely. Well, I haven't been wrong so far.
I snorted. Cocky much? I straightened my back, trying to compete with his height. Whatever you say. Kale looked down at his phone again. I could barely hear the faint ring.
I gotta go. You can give me the money for the chair later.
Where are you going? I asked before thinking. I wanted to slap myself on the forehead, but he was looking right at me with a curious expression that made my stomach twist. His brows pulled in, and he did that smile thing again, and it made my stomach flutter.
To the baby shower,
he said plainly. Huh? Not what I expected, and I stood there stunned for a moment as his fingers tapped the screen of his phone. What baby shower? I asked. He looked at me like I was an idiot.
Elodie's? I was wondering why you weren't there today, but figured you must have gone already and left or something.
Kale looked around at the people closing up their stalls. A man in a football jersey waved at him as he walked by carrying a folding table. What do you mean, Elodie's baby shower? I haven't even started planning it yet.
It's Tharp's wife who planned it. Tony? She's saying it's a cookout so Elodie wouldn't catch on, but it's really a baby shower. Didn't they give you the invite?
I shook my head. No. They didn't. I swallowed. My throat was so dry all of a sudden. I was embarrassed as hell, and I wanted to disappear so I could process this. I mean, Elodie invited me to a platoon cookout, but I really didn't want to go. Then the embarrassment really flared up. My chest was on fire. I was the one who was supposed to plan her baby shower, or so I'd thought. Nobody told me it was a baby shower. No one even told me they were planning one. I don't have any of those women's numbers or contacts anyway, but I would have helped. I thought I was planning it anyway. If I had known, I would have gone. I wanted to cry. Kale looked like he didn't know what to say to me.
Oh,
was all he said. I wanted to snap at him, but this time my pain wasn't his fault. I took out my phone to text Elodie to apologize. I couldn't believe none of those women thought to invite me. Even worse, they threw a baby shower for her, and I had just assumed that I would be the one to do that. This was a clear, blazing message that those girls either hated me or didn't care to remember my existence at all.
Do you want to come with me? I'm going there now,
Kale said. I shook my head. No fucking way.
Why not?
I blew out my breath. Well, they clearly didn't want me there in the first place.
It must have been a mix-up. They don't even know you, do they?
He asked, seriously. I can't just show up uninvited. Ugh, I hate clicky people. Whatever, I didn't want to go to that cookout anyway. I'll have my own shower for her. I talked myself through the rejection I felt.
Who cares what they think? Elodie's your best friend and lives with you. If anyone says anything, they'd be fucking stupid.
People are usually stupid when given the chance. He laughed.
You have an answer for everything, don't you?
I pulled my lip between my teeth and nodded. I'd be a great lawyer if I wasn't so empathetic and too poor for law school.
Okay, Miss Empathy.
His voice changed to a whisper.
To everyone but me. Let's go to the baby shower for Elodie, not them. Plus, I can help you get that chair home. Your house is sort of on the way, he said.
It wasn't. I'll figure it out on my own. I blocked the low sun from my eyes with one hand. It was shining bright, just behind Kale's head and shoulders, but his broad body hid most of the light, except for where it crept around the edges of him. He laughed.
Wow. You'd rather be stuck here with this chair with no way to get it home than ride with me. I didn't realize it was quite at that level, he said in a sad voice.
I wouldn't have had the chance to tell you how I felt, and it's not like you actually asked. You ghosted me. I rolled my eyes, arguing to lighten up the conversation. Obviously, it would be easier for you to bring the chair, but I wasn't thinking of you offering to take it.
You know I will gladly help you. Anytime, he said.
I wanted to tell him that no, I didn't know that. Not at all. I really wanted the chair, and now, thanks to you, I have it, so whoever drives it home doesn't matter, I said in a dramatic way while hugging the back of it and sighing. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
He paused and I caught his eyes on my mouth.
It is.
I could feel my heart pounding. He licked his lips.
Come on, Care. Come with me. You don't want to miss her baby shower. I'm sorry they didn't invite you, but this is about Elodie, not them.
I rolled my eyes heavily. Oh, don't you try that salesy shit on me. I'm immune to your charm. He smirked at me, calling me a liar with his eyes.
Right.
Besides, I don't know if I should go now that it's almost over. I was going to throw her one closer to her due date. I thought people waited until they knew the gender of the baby. They should have waited so people could actually know what to buy. I looked up at Kale. He was leaning against a dining room table set that was only $80 for all six pieces. It looked at least 100 years old and cool as hell, with etchings of lines in the wood, marking family dinners, excited kids. Memories made. Kale's finger traced along the edge of the table, collecting a tiny bit of dust.
I have no idea why they did it now. I just found out yesterday, so I guess it was a last-minute kind of thing. I'm almost done with her gift. It's still got another week until it's ready, but I'm still going to stop by and at least show my face at the party.
I glared at him.
Even though your baby shower would have been much, much better.
I smiled. So did he. I looked around at the booths that were still open.
Ugh.
And even if I stop by, I won't have a gift. What did you get her?
A crib,
he told me, his voice lower and the cocky smile evaporating into the sticky market air. I couldn't help but smile.
A crib? Wow. I'm making it, though, so it's taking longer than expected.
My mouth hung open. You're making it as in building it yourself? He nodded. Now I definitely can't show up with you. You're showing me up too much. That was so sweet of him. I needed the reminder that he wasn't always an emotionless toy soldier, and that I wasn't a total crazy person for having seen something completely different in him once upon a time. Him building Elodie a crib for her baby, by hand, definitely did the trick of flipping my opinion of Kale. The thought of him coming here to buy wood to build a crib was pulling me to him emotionally. It changed something in the way I was looking at him. brought in a little light that I hoped Kale would put out with another lie before I was too far gone.
Yeah, I'm sweet, I know.
He wiped sweat from his forehead.
So you're going to stop being a brat and come with me, or not?
Chapter 18. When I first agreed to go, it was mostly the thrill of bickering with Kale that fueled the choice. It was also annoyance and anger that Elodie's friends hadn't even thought to invite me. Or worse, maybe they purposely hadn't. I would find out soon enough. My stomach ached with anxiety, already regretting climbing into Kale's truck. I was waiting for him, staring into the mirror, watching his body grow bigger and bigger as he got closer and closer in the reflection. He'd told me to wait in the truck while he did the work. I attempted to argue once, but the stinging from the cuts on my arms, from the plants, and the gash on my leg told me to shut it, and I sat inside his car and watched him through the mirror. He was carrying my two new plants in both his arms. He was so solid, the body of a man who carried the world with him everywhere he went. When he approached, I turned the music up while he fit both the chair and the plants into the back. I watched him play Tetris with it all for a few seconds, offered to help, but he ignored me. I thought about ditching out one more time before I snapped my seatbelt on and off out of boredom and checked my phone. Alerts for Instagram were still popping up from the picture of the purple chair. I knew the picture was good, but I didn't expect actual attention for it. It was weird, this unfamiliar rush that came with scrolling down the list of somewhat familiar names. I usually didn't give a damn about these people. I just looked at their socials when I was bored. But now that I was fresh on their minds with my chair pick, I wondered what they thought about me in my post-high school life. Hopefully, they were under the impression that I had a lot more going on than I actually did. My senior year of high school was already 3 years ago, and it didn't feel like that much time had passed at all. Maybe because, outside of putting a roof over my head, I hadn't really done shit with my life beyond becoming a licensed massage therapist, which was great, but even that was over 2 years ago. In that time, Kale had deployed twice, and many people I knew had long-term relationships, marriages, and some even had kids. I shivered a little, even though it was hot as hell outside. "Should we drop the stuff off at my house first?" I asked Kale when he sat down in the driver's seat. "You can follow me." He turned the radio volume dial down until it was silent and shook his head. He took the bottom of his t-shirt and lifted it up to rub the sweat off his forehead. God, this car felt small, despite being a huge Bronco. I turned the AC up higher, not just for his comfort, but so he would keep his body covered.
"Not a chance."
He smiled, wiping his face again. I didn't look down at his bare skin, even though every part of me wanted to.
"Why not?"
I asked.
"Because you won't go to Thorpe's house with me. You'll have me help you drop your shit off and you'll bounce. I know."
He stopped himself before he said, "You." "No way." I laughed at his audacity for being so close to the truth. "I mean, yeah, I would maybe try that, but who knows? Maybe I go and we have fun." I caught what I said at the same time he did. I stumbled to correct myself. "Not we, I meant I. Maybe I'll have fun." He looked at me, skeptical, but his eyes were alight in a way that almost convinced me to tag along.
"Karina, you're honestly trying to tell me that you're willing to come? Because I can bring the stuff by, then drive there. You don't have to go. I just think it would be nice for Elodie if you were there. You're important to her, but I don't want you to be uncomfortable,"
he explained. I blew out a puff of air, my legs fidgeting under my body, and ended up even closer to him. "I'm going. Still feels like I'm intruding, though. But I can't go like this." I looked down at my ratty clothes. My shirt has a literal hole in it. I poked my purple fingernail through. I'd look like an idiot.
"You won't, trust me,"
he said, like it wasn't weird for him to compliment me suddenly. "Thanks." I met his eyes. his breath caught in his throat, and if he didn't mean to look at me like that, then it sure as hell felt like he did. Seconds passed as neither of us moved. Not one coherent thing passed through my mind. I could feel him, so close to me, all around me. The closest thing to the feeling was a hot bath with lavender-scented bubbles floating around the air, calming, refreshing. He leaned in a little closer, and my heart picked up such speed that I worried he would hear it.
See, we can be friends after all.
His words fell between us heavily. I blinked, a little stunned and a lot ashamed that for a second I'd thought... I don't know what I'd thought. I shook my head, scooting toward the window and away from him. We'll see about friends. Don't get your hopes up. I tried to keep my tone as playful and as far away from desperate as I could.
Oh, I don't have any hopes, Karina.
He kicked his truck into reverse. What are you doing? I have my car here! I yelled when he pushed the gas pedal down.
I'm just driving you to your car,
he told me, smiling a little as he turned the steering wheel. My hand clenched the handle on the door and I laughed it off, my heart pounding as we drove in silence except for the air conditioner blowing at full speed. Even the radio was off. He drove a few rows over and parked close to my car. Thanks for the ride, I told him as I opened the door and got out. I heard his door open and watched him walk around to my car. He was waiting by the driver's side door. His hand rubbed the top of his thigh as he stood there, waiting for me to get into my car. Is your leg bothering you? I asked him, looking down at it. I hoped not, especially because he had carried a heavy chair and plants for me. But my question only brought silence out of him. Even when he'd stayed over, he kept his leg covered. He kept his leg covered when he got massages and when he showered at my house. He always took pants into the bathroom with him to put on before he came back to my room. I had gotten so used to not asking that honestly, sometimes I forgot about his injury.
I'm fine. I'll follow you to your house.
His keychain dangled from his index finger and he looked toward the highway about 100 yards away from us. He pulled on the unlocked door of my car, opening it for me.
You shouldn't leave your doors unlocked here. Or anywhere.
His brows pulled together and he rubbed his temple with one finger. I've been better about that, I said, sort of telling the truth.
Right.
He nodded to the open door.
I can see that.
I made a face at him as I moved by him to get into my car. He closed the door before I could even grab the handle and hit his hand against the door. You know, I liked when you talked less.
I'm sure you did.
He laughed, his voice farther away as he got into his truck. The day couldn't have been further from what I'd expected it to be. I wondered if I would have still gone inside the market had I seen his Bronco in the lot. My head was still spinning from being so close to him in the car. Gah, he makes me crazy. I turned the radio on. A song was just ending, and Ryan Seacrest's voice came on reading an ad for a dating app. The universe was taking jabs at me again. Thanks, Ryan. I changed the station, then pulled up the directions home and propped my cell up in my cup holder so I could drive. Kale probably didn't need directions, so I probably should have followed him back. I pulled out onto the road, Kale behind me. I couldn't believe those women had thrown Elodie a baby shower and hadn't invited me. I tried not to take it too personally, but that was pretty damn hard. I had spent the morning anxious over a damn cookout and was stressed enough at the idea of that. Being involved in their baby shower would probably have been worse because of the pressure of getting the gift, helping with the decorations, coordinating with people I barely knew. So I didn't care out of a sense of being left out, per se. I was mostly disappointed that those girls threw the shower before I could. I was Elodie's closest friend. I mean, she lived with me. Unofficially or not, she slept at my house on my couch every night. Elodie was probably going to think they cared more about her than I did. Tony, the girl who'd picked her up from the emergency room, likely decorated her on-post house for the occasion, and Elodie was probably so happy. Her house was probably bigger, and definitely nicer than mine. I hated that these people had this power over me to make me feel so insecure. I didn't want to be that kind of girl, but something in my brain forced me to be. I looked back at Kale's white Bronco following behind me. Looking at him made me feel steady for a moment. It calmed the rush of thoughts that were piling on top of each other as I drove. Unfortunately for me,